turn myself up to it. Evening. Great to see you. We're continuing on our series looking at the healing power of Jesus, which is a fascinating series that we've started on. And part of the reason why it's so fascinating is we really don't have any idea where it's leading to. We know what we're going to be speaking on over the next 7 or 8 weeks or whatever, but we don't know what God's going to do, and that's what makes it exciting. So what's the series all about? Well, it's just very simply recognizing the fact that a part of Jesus' ministry here on earth was healing people and delivering people and cleansing people. And the Bible tells us that the church is to continue on the ministry of Jesus. So while we continue on the preaching of the word, while we continue on the sharing of the gospel, it's important to continue on giving God the opportunity to heal people. And so that's why we're looking at this. So tonight we're looking at a passage from Luke's gospel, chapter 5. And I'm just going to read it to start us off. You also find it in Matthew and Mark as well. But I'm going to read it from Luke. Luke 5, verse 17, talking of Jesus. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." So that's our story this evening. Amazing, amazing story. I love it. One of the problems with it is I think it asks more questions, or leaves us with more questions than we came with about healing and all sorts of things, and I'm not going to endeavor to answer all those questions tonight. I simply want to share with you four things that struck me as I read this. And one thing about Jesus and his healing ministry. Today, Christians would love to get healing. Is that annoying, that? The rattle? Can you cope with the rattle? That's all right. I'll put that further away from my mouth in case it's my fault. The church today, when it tries to think about healing, what it would love to do is get this nice little formula, A plus B equals healing. And they strive to find this. But one of the things in Jesus' life was, every time he healed or cleansed anyone, he did it completely differently. There wasn't, one blind man, he got mud up and spat on it and put it in his eyes and he could see. He just did it differently every time. And so we must always be careful not to try to think we can find a formula. We don't want to be searching through the scriptures, trying to find a formula by which we can heal people. That's missing the whole point. And it brings us to the first point that I want to make this evening, and it's found at the end of verse 17. And it says, "And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick." Or should I say, I'll put Jesus in instead of him. "And the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick." It amazed me when I read that verse again. I've read it many times. But even Jesus in his life as a man was dependent upon the presence of God so that he could heal the sick. And we must always learn that lesson, first and foremost. This is not about us finding some secret formula to heal the sick. This is not because we are sinless, because we're certainly not sinless. Jesus was sinless, and he still depended upon the Father. He still depended upon the presence of the Spirit of God, the power of God to heal the sick. And so we must humbly, you know, if that's the way that the Lord did it, and we certainly come far below the Lord, well, it's certainly the way that we need to do it. Dependent upon the presence of the power of the Lord. This is never a me thing. It's never a Shiloh thing. It's always a Lord thing. And his presence here with us and what he wants to do. The second thing, and this is my favorite part of the parable, is the man coming. They have a guy who cannot walk. He's paralyzed. And they decide to take him to Jesus. But where Jesus is absolutely bunged. And, you know, I used to think of it maybe as a wee house. This must have been quite a sizable place, because it says that the Pharisees were there from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. There was a lot of people here, and that's just the Pharisees. It wasn't all Pharisees. All the locals would have been in too. Now, obviously, the people were bringing their sick because the power of the Lord was there so that Jesus could heal the sick. And these guys came, and they came a wee bit late for the party, and the place was bunged. And so they devise this plan. They say, let's go up onto the roof and let's lower our friend down. We'll try to judge it so that we're right above Jesus, and we'll just bring our friend to Jesus. Now, we all maybe have an idea in our mind what that looked like. I certainly have, and it's stuck with me ever since I was a kid in Sunday school. And I remember thinking, I remember sitting there listening to somebody talking about it, and I was just looking at the roof the whole time, imagining what it would be like if we started to see wee crumbles starting to come through, you know, as they tried to dislodge the first tile. And then there would be a whole clatter of stuff comes down, and what on earth is going on? And then this mat appears, and by Jove, here's this paralyzed man gets lowered down. I just think it's a beautiful wee picture. But the thing it illustrates is the faith of these men. And that is something that seemed to, I want to say surprise Jesus, but it's one of the things that impressed upon Jesus, that's a better word, and it was impressed upon him, the faith of these men bringing this guy, and obviously the guy who allowed himself to be brought. I think sometimes it's taught that the guy didn't want to come and that these guys made him come, but I think they were all in this together. And the faith of it, to come to see Jesus. Like, you imagine, you know, if you try to think of it, it's a wee bit like the General Synod of the Church of England meeting. This is all the religious leaders. They've all come together, all those bishops and cardinals. Well, this is the Jewish equivalent in the local area. They've all come to hear Jesus, and all of a sudden these guys come and disrupt the whole party. These guys must have had a confidence in who Jesus was, a faith in who Jesus was. They knew as certain as they could possibly know, if we can get our friend at the feet of Jesus, he will be healed. And I think that's a remarkable faith. And it's a determination to get to Jesus. The third thing, of course, that I want to note is Jesus' comment to the guy. He says, friend, your sins are forgiven. And I think here, this is a point that Jesus is trying to make, but it's not really anything to do with the paralyzed man. It's to do with all the people standing there and listening to him. It's to the Pharisees. And the point that he's making here is, because he says your sins are forgiven, and the Pharisees all start thinking, flip sake, who does this guy think he is? Only God can forgive sins. But of course, that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I am God. And so he realizes he knows what they're thinking. So he says to them, which is easier? Which is easier, to say to this man who can't walk, walk, or say to this man who is a sinner, your sins are forgiven? And of course, the point Jesus is making is that none of them could do either of those things. And of course, none of us here can do either of those things. Because Jesus was alone God, and he could do both those things. He could forgive sins, and he could raise the man. I was nearly going to say raise the man from the dead, but he wasn't that far gone. He was only paralyzed. He can allow him to walk. And it brings us to back to the whole subject of faith. We're coming here looking at healing. But of course, the greatest miracle of all has occurred already in most of our lives. And that is the fact that our sins are forgiven. And we trust in that by faith. We came to Jesus however many months or however many years ago and confessed our sins to him. And he has forgiven our sins. And we must never forget that that is the greatest miracle. You know, any miracle of healing is only has only temporary results, because we're all going to die. But the miracle of sins forgiven has eternal results, that even though we die, we shall live forever. And then lastly, I just want to comment on the response of the people around. It says here that they were filled with... Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Or if you read this account in Mark, they give thanks to God and praise God and say, "We've never seen anything like this before." But I think what's recorded in Matthew's is almost the best, because it says that they praised God because they praised God who had given such authority to men. And they couldn't get over that God had invested in this man Jesus such authority. They were still learning who Jesus was. And of course, he was a man, but he was also the Son of God. He was also God himself. But they couldn't get over how that God had given such authority to men. You see, in their culture, they recognized that in some way or other, that this man's problem was spiritual related. I'm not saying it was because he was a worse sinner than anyone else. No, because it's an infliction of the enemy. You know, when we read about Acts, when we read in Acts, I think it's Peter's description of what Jesus was doing, how that he went around, healed the sick, raised the dead, and came against all the oppression of the enemy. And it's almost related that every oppression that we're under is in some way an oppression of the enemy. And of course, what had happened is God had invested in his son an authority greater than the authority of the enemy. And so he was able to deliver this man from the oppression of the enemy, from the sickness, from the disability that he had. So what about us tonight as we're going to head into an open time? Well, I suppose... Well, number one, like the crowd who were amazed and in awe, we can take this story home with us and we can go and read it again and read it again, because there's an awful lot in it. I've only spent 10 minutes or so going through it there. There's an awful lot in it. Do take it home, ponder it. But with faith tonight, let us seek Jesus like these men did. Let us realize that it is only at his feet that anything will happen. Whether it's sins being forgiven or whether it's people being healed, it only happens at the feet of Jesus. And I just want to read a few verses from Matthew 28. You see, there's a lot to be said for whether the church has the authority that Jesus had on earth. I'm not getting into that. We're going to have that debate some other time. We're looking at something different here now. But Jesus said, before he left the disciples, he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So we can't be in dispute that Jesus had all this authority. All the authority of heaven and earth he had. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So it's almost irrespective of what authority we have in the name of Jesus here as a fellowship. What we know is that Jesus is with us, because he'll be with us always, right until the end of the age. And he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he is in our presence. So as we, by faith, seek his face and seek to sit at his feet, we are sitting at the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And then finally, if like on that occasion, the power of the Lord is present to heal, well then let us heal. Let's praise the Lord. Tally.